Hey, hi guys.
Hello,
Hey.
hello. I'm just waiting for it to be 9 so I can check up on
Yeah, let's
Imran.
wait for some more people to join in.
Yeah. Is
Go.
Hashia with
Yeah, I joined from the Miranda as well.
Hi, hi, Harsh, how are you?
Hey, dang good.
Hey, all right. We're just gonna wait and see. We see if any more people join, and then we can start up, I think, in couple more minutes. That sounds cool.
Sounds good.
Okay. So where are you guys based out of, Harsh?
Based out of India only, I'm based out of Gujarat.
All right. I thought you guys were in Bangalore. I was wondering why we didn't meet yet. I thought we could meet sometime or other, actually, if we were in Bangalore.
Yeah, we'll be there. Like the entire team would be there at Only Devs in Mumbai. So yeah, we'll be happy to meet.
Yeah, we'll be in only that. We'll definitely catch up. I'll ping you guys before we come. Great. Also, to everyone else on the spaces right now, we are also doing a giveaway with Astrolane and MetEngine. If you guys are in the spaces, you're already eligible to be taking part in the giveaway. To know more about the rules, please do check out either of our Discord servers. And yeah, so we're offering 10 winners access to MetEngine's new web app terminal, which we will be discussing about later today. Okay, why don't we get started now and then we can look for more speakers later?
Yeah, sure.
Great, all right. Hi Harsh, hi Suchit. So before we begin, let's do like a small round of introductions. Suchit, I would really like to hear about yourself and why we started Astrolink.
Hey guys, thanks for joining in. Thanks Harsh for joining in as well. So my name is Suchit, one of the founding engineers at Astrolink. And basically what we specialize in is a low latency middleware for distributed systems. And we have been experimenting with products built on top of this. One of the main ones is called Iris. It's essentially a transaction broadcasting network, helped or aimed at helping traders land more transactions a lot more effectively. We're working on a couple of other products which does thread streaming, data pipelines, etc. And yeah, excited to be here. Been working with Harsh and the team for a while now. Really sick team, sick product. And yeah, Harsh, if you want good quick intro would be nice.
Sure. Thank you guys for having me. So I'm Harsh, John from the MedEngine team. MedEngine is a LPing terminal, so it's XEM for LPing. There are liquidity provision as a vertical is something which is still underrated, and like there's like tons of money to be made, but like it as an environment lacks tools, and like you need a lot of different types of analytical points in order to convert the raw Solana data to trading signals for liquidity provision specifically. So yeah, we've been building for a while now. We won the DeFi track in Colosseum, in the recent Colosseum Global Hackathon. And we have been working with Astrolink specifically for like all our transactions. Like all our transactions are exclusively powered by Astrolink. So yeah, it's always, it's fun to work with Astrolink. Like sometimes even our infra is not able to catch up with the speed of it. So that's it's a cool team. So,
yeah. That was amazing. Thanks. Thanks, Harsh. All right. So let's get into the AMA then. So I'm going to ask you both a couple of questions and then we can wrap that up with updates from both of your ends. Does that sound good?
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So, Sujit, like Solana has been an exciting environment for traders, but it's also pretty brutal compared to the other chains. I mean, latency, MEV, and failed transactions really shape up the negative side of experience for most traders, I think. What do you think about that?
Okay. That's a very long question to answer, but let me try to summarize this. Particularly when you work with high frequency operations on chain, there's a bunch of sophistication that comes around, especially when you're looking at on-chain operations, right? Like in the case of distributed systems, you have things that move around different locations at the blink of an eye. Like in Solana, blocks are like 400 milliseconds, but it could jump from one region to the other within the blink of an eye. And you have like different client versions that run the network. Like you have the Agave client, you have the Jito client, you have different TPU implementations, etc. And what ends up happening is that the application developer or the high frequency operators which decide to use networks like Solana, they essentially have to redo or rebuild a lot of the execution stack themselves, where they try to understand what are the different clients, what are the different ways to optimize transaction execution costs on these clients, which locations are best for, you know, sending transactions in certain cases, how do they keep track of leader schedule. I could go on, like the infrastructure problems for high frequency operators on Solana is endless. We try to abstract away as many of these problems as possible for application developers and high frequency traders so that they don't have to you know, go through the painful process of reinventing a whole new network or rebuilding the infra layer from scratch.
Got it, got it. So I'm also taking away that this is one of the primary reasons that you wanted to start building Astrolane, especially Iris.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at a bit about our past, like we essentially started working with a lot of market makers and trading firms initially. And we started noticing that a lot of the problems that they were facing with execution environment optimizations were also being faced by application developers who sometimes want to send like very bulky transactions or sometimes have a high throughput of transactions that are coming onto the network. They sometimes have very inefficiently crafted transaction. They don't know how to optimally, let's say, tip in a particular transaction or set the fee. And they wanted different models where they could optimize the refunds on those surplus tips, right? So we tried to build out Iris in a way that A, it solves the execution speed issue, abstracting away all the client versions, and then B, it also optimizes on the cost.
Got it. Okay. All right. Thank you, Sujit. So my next part is for Harsh. I think I really want to understand with the given ecosystem, how do you think Astrolane and MetEngine complement each other?
Sure. So we work with liquidity provision techniques. So like on Solana, there's a huge war going on right now with different launch pads, and there are like thousands and thousands of tokens getting launched on every single day. So what happens with that is a lot of liquidity provision opportunities come up where you can market make in those particular DEXs. And these happen like for a few seconds to a few minutes. Being at the right place at the right time and the right Solana account can make you like tons of money. Like just yesterday, like one of the traders, not from our platform, but like a liquidity provider, he was able to turn like $200 to $21,000 just by being in providing liquidity at the exact correct DEX. It is a 1000x performance, 1000x return for being at the right place at the right time. And MetEngine does work with that. So like we have analytics, we have like all the things which we provide are in real time services where we subscribe to all the data happening on Solana and everything. So you don't like, we take care about all the data and everything, and Astrolane complements it with like transaction landing. So like once you have all that data analyzed, you now need to make those clicks and land those transactions quickly. And like just a few milliseconds to a few seconds of difference can make a huge impact on your trades. So yeah, it is very important to have both at the most optimal speed.
Yeah, I mean, right place at the right time makes all the difference. I mean, there was a very interesting piece that you shared about your friend making a lot of money. I've noticed every time that I sit down with the engineers here at Astrolane, I didn't understand how much of a difference that 5 milliseconds could make until I sat down with the engineers here, and then they sit down optimizing their workflows, even down to the 5 milliseconds. It's crazy. Okay, with this, let me move on to our next part, which is I really want to talk about LP. I think LP has really changed in Solana right now. I think the scenario of LP and how it works has changed. So if this is something I want to ask both of you, we are seeing like a continual trend where we're moving towards active liquidity that's made possible through dropping amounts. And I also feel like liquidity provisioning has also changed much with, the recent expansion of USD money into Solana. So I really want to hear from both of you how you think the new LP strategies work and how LP has changed in the ecosystem.
Sujit,
if you want to go first.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, personally, from my side, I really love what the MetEngine team is doing. Like historically, if you look at like DeFi, we initially started back in 2019, early 2020s with a very passive sort of like design with most of the AMMs. And what ended up happening was like in a lot of the slower networks, there was a lot of value captured by high frequency operators, which were sort of like hidden shadowy operators. And it sort of like highlighted some fundamental issues within the blockchain network itself. And even some of these issues exist on Solana as well, right? So there is like a huge distinction between like passive LPs and active liquidity providers, people who move in and out of like move their liquidity in and out of like pools within a couple of seconds by forecasting trade flow demands, right? And what something really cool that the guys are trying to do is like bring access to those sort of like strategies for normal users being able to do like active liquidity strategies is like something really cool. Like one thing I would want to ask from my side, just to add on to that question, is like, Harsh, how are you guys thinking about like different structures around like just-in-time liquidity? How are you guys thinking about different products around like perpetual markets, etc.? If you could maybe talk a bit about that as well on top of the question, that would be nice.
Sure. So yeah, like liquidity provision as technically being a market maker and crypto in general has done a very good job in democratizing it. Market making still happens in TradFi world, and it's a closed club behind all those licenses and only available for multi-million-dollar net worthers. And yes, like crypto democratizes it. Anyone with a few bucks can do that. And it has grown a lot. Currently, we are at that stage where we see, as I like to call them, like fruit fly tokens. So these are the tokens which stay for a day and they die the next day. And these are the ones where like some of these will go on and have like a multi-million dollar market cap and stuff. But like majority of them do die, and like majority of the liquidity provision fees are currently getting made in this. So yes. They come up with a higher risk of impermanent loss, but obviously with a higher reward as well. And regarding Sujit's question for just-in-time liquidity, we are working currently for the DGens who already know what LPing is and building enough tools for them. And later we want to expand to the spectrum where we are able to cater to every type of person who is using Solana. Like there are people who have high capital who don't want to lock that much capital for a longer period of time. For them, just-in-time liquidity makes sense. Currently one of the most interesting places to be at is like prediction markets. I'm looking into all the different types of AMMs which are getting built around prediction markets. One of the cool ones being a Futaki AMM built by MetaDAO. So yeah, those are also pretty cool, where you can have multi-universes of markets where there's one market where the proposal has passed, one market where the proposal has failed, and you get yields from both the markets. So yeah, like it's a pretty fun time to build on Solana.
Yeah, prediction markets are definitely picking up some heat right now. It's like all sorts of binary markets. But I wanted to touch upon one of the points that you said, where you're seeing a lot of LP activity around these tokens, which have a very short duration or like lifespan of liquidity provisioning. How does that, like in terms of like, if we were to talk about like volumes or number of users doing this position, how does it compare against like the majors? Is that similar in terms of volume, or is it like disproportionately high, like the users who participate in these sort of strategies on like smaller tokens versus the large caps?
Sure. So, in the obviously, like in the blue chip tokens, you see more longer positions for LP. So, like if it's a blue chip token, consider it's a pool of Sol USDC. These positions would stay there for days, weeks, even months, and it would be a high capital. It would be a high capital position, but the most of the fees on which are made on a daily basis, like considering, let's talk about stats of yesterday. Yesterday, DEXs, like all the major DEXs on Solana, made around $5 million in fees in just one day. So like these are all the liquidity providers, various different DEXs who made these. So these are not owned by the protocols, but these are owned by the liquidity providers on these DEXs. And majority of that came from all these tokens, which are short duration.
Got it. Makes sense. And in terms of, like, let's say, behavior around certain events that are like off-chain, like, for example, how we have like the FOMC hearing today, do you guys notice like a spike in volume? How is like the general behavior in terms of like users around these off-chain market events?
Yeah, totally. They are totally correlated. Everyone is looking at the FOMC meeting, starts in around 2 hours from now. So yes, it is like everything is correlated, because like the interest rates kind of decide the liquidity in the market. That decides if Sol is gonna pump, if Sol is going up, then you can see more runners. You can see more active liquidity flowing around from one in DeFi. So yeah, like if Sol is doing good, if all the prices are doing good, we see like a huge traction in our users as well. So that's why we like, you know, make sure that we are building the best infra whilst the prices are low, so that we can stay up and running when the prices are soaring high.
That's very great. Yeah. Overall, I love the concept. Like normally these sort of products around liquidity provisioning and capturing vol fees in TradFi markets, these are like segments which are very exclusively provided to certain niche market maker or operators who, you know, understand a lot of these variables around like gamma, theta, understand of like, you know, options expiry, things like that. And, you know, what you guys are doing is like giving access to these products is to like actual retail users to be able to provide liquidity and capture fees is like quite insane. So kudos on that.
Thanks. Yeah, we try.
Yeah, and also I want to follow up with something that you said earlier, as you were mentioning about building infra to stay competitive. I think I really want to hear more about that. I want to understand how that works. I want to understand what LPs are struggling with today. If you can give me a gist about that, especially from the execution side.
Sure. So currently, like, it's hard enough to have analysis at the most point of time, because you want to analyze everything quickly and just in time. So you need to know if a particular token is a rug, it's a honeypot, it's bricked in some way, if the SPL program is working, if it is a token 22, if it has a particular text associated with it. And yes, so like having all these analysis is like the first go, and then the execution mostly depends upon getting the best rates for the swap, and like having the least amount of slippage on these swaps, because like whenever trading activity goes high, the amount of MEV happening on chain also goes high. Every single transaction gets sandwiched on AMMs. A lot of arbitrage bots work on Solana. So yeah, you need to have that. And the swaps and zero slippage is something which matters along with high speed analysis.
What is like the craziest MEV or like the sandwich transaction you have seen so far on Solana?
I love this website. I would love to give a shout out to Post Devs if you have heard of them. It's called sandwich.me/arbitrages. That's one of the websites which I spend most of my time on. And there are some crazy arbitrages happening where one of the recent ones was some of them are happening on blue chip tokens, and some of them also happen on tokens which are just launched, so they are still in there. So today few hours ago, there was a huge arbitrage happening between Radium CLMM and Whirlpool's program by Orca, where a trader was able to make around 123 SOL on a cost of 0.02 SOL and that's like just today. So like that's one of the top most arbitrage happening today. So
that's crazy. Yeah, shout out to sandwich.me guys, they're doing like a great work. And you know, data indexing is one of the toughest parts on Solana, especially when you're doing it with like high frequency operators. The amount of data that you have to ingest, process, and make meaningful insights out of them is no easy feat. So yeah, definitely shout out to them. From my side, I noticed something really cool the other day. It was actually brought up by one of our Discord community members. So there's a lot of activity happening around USD 1 pools, and there was like a arb between a Radium and I forgot the which AMM the other pool was on, but it was like essentially a swap for like around 1 point something SOL was converted to around 150 SOL worth of USD 1 at the exit position. It was like a crazy swap. So definitely an exciting time to be an LP on pools right now. So you're capturing a lot of fees.
Yeah. So it happens. So now there is even LP tech where you can be to these bots as well. So one of this very cool smart contract by Meteora is around dynamic AMM V2, where you can have custom fees and you can have like anti-sniper tech. So the way it works is they have like the pool starts with a 50% base fee and it falls with every minute. So that way you are able to like beat all these bots, because the bots end up paying you the fees. So you're technically converting MEV into LP profits. And like consider there's a huge launch coming of any single token. Obviously it will get sniped. Obviously it will get MEV. So you can just put in the liquidity there and you don't even have to care about anything else. So yeah, like that's one of the crazy things. And like we currently do like around 5% of volume on that specific contract.
Oh wow, that's great, man. That's great. And also I heard the Meteora guys are doing a token launch soon. So probably for a lot of the listeners, if someone uses the MetEngine app, do they qualify for the Meteora airdrop as well?
Yeah, every single one of our users who has made any fees from the product is eligible for the airdrop.
All right. That's amazing, guys. But I hate to break this up, but we are nearly over time. So I'm going to head to our last section right now, which is just hearing updates. I really want to know what's new with MetEngine. I got to try out your web app terminal that's live too. So I really want the listeners to be able to hear that from you. Harsh, over to you now. I think Harsh.
I think
I think he's having a network issue, but no problem. We can hear from you first, Sujit. What's new with Astrolay and what we're looking forward to? And let's see if Harsh is able to join back in.
Sure. So we have been doing a lot of upgrades on our middleware performance optimizations. Looks like Harsh is back. Yeah. Harsh, if you want to give some updates about MetEngine, I can continue after that.
Sure. Sorry about that. So we launched a web app terminal specifically for the anti-sniper suite. We launched it as a public beta 2 weeks back, and our users are loving it. We are seeing crazy PNL cards on a daily basis. Yes, we are making it much more easier for finding more LP opportunities on our daily basis. With the next launch, adding 2 to 3 different more features to it. So we are releasing it for more different types of LP strategies, one being on top of Meteora DLMM. We are adding much more screeners. We'll most probably have the teaser out sometime next week, early next week. That's something which would be a game changer for anyone to find the best LP opportunity all across Solana. So
that's lovely. Also to all the other listeners, I think I mentioned this earlier in the spaces when it started, that we are also hosting a giveaway together, and you've got to go check out our Discord. We've very simple rules, and then you'd be qualified for standing a chance to win access to their new web app terminal. All right. Final part. It's here. Sujit, what's new with Astrolay? What are we looking forward to do?
All right. So a lot of performance upgrades to make things faster for all the apps, all the traders using our Iris products. We have also been cooking up some new transaction submission endpoints. There will be a bunch of announcements made regarding that soon. We're also going to be working on a new configuration mode where users would be able to specify which part of the block space they want to land their transactions in, which would allow certain sophisticated apps to time for top of block transactions, bottom of block transactions, particularly attractive for arbitrage operations, early liquidation events, sniping events, things like that. On the read side as well, we have been heavily cooking on that side because we work with an extensive set of validators. We have good connections to get raw shred data, and we are working on a product to allow for very fast streaming of top of block data, top of turbine data directly to our end customers as well. Couple of more announcements as well coming soon. Don't want to give out too much alpha on this one, but stay tuned on our Discord and our Twitter.
That's pretty awesome. I'm not sure if normal people can understand how important it is to be at a specific part of the block, but that is really exciting. Is it something similar to Cascade Network where you can just have bandwidth, or if you can share the alpha, that would be cool.
So it's kind of different from Cascade. I'm guessing you're referring to the Cascade Network from Triton. So
yeah.
What we are doing is it's a bit different. So we allow for configurations when you're sending the transaction directly, where you could say that, okay, here's a transaction from my side. I want you to buffer it and then make sure to send it while it's out of the G2 auction window. Like on the current clients, if you look at majority of them, especially the G2 version of the clients, there is a lock on most of the scheduler till up to towards 80% of the block is locked by G2, and where the transactions are prioritized based on tips So, you know, the scheduler can't really take in a lot of transactions which are fee optimized. But then that also results in interesting dynamics towards the end of the block, where transactions which are optimized more for fees or local fee markets are landing better towards the end of the blocks. As everyone who is, like, you know, building in the space is probably already aware, local fee markets suck really bad right now. We just provide a way for users who are optimizing on fee markets to, like, land at specific portions. And let's say if someone doesn't want to, like, the counter argument also exists, right? Like, let's say someone doesn't want to spend a lot in fees and then just wants to, you know, spend in tips, and they want to land in the top of the block. So you could essentially time it. And there could be, like, interesting dynamics around the price movements here, right? Sometimes the opportunity that you want to capture is only available if you land within the first 10 or 15 positions within a block, because as you go bottom, lower down into the block, your opportunity value could, like, cascade. Depends on the opportunity, of course, but this is something especially targeted by people who do a lot of sniping, people who do a lot of sex tech arbitragers. They want the best price in the blocks, and that's only available at the top of the block. So it's basically like a controlled buffering environment. We're doing some tests with it internally. Would love to give out beta access to anyone who wants to try it out.
We would love to try it out. We care about this so much. And let us know whenever it's ready. And that's pretty, pretty cool. Like, I didn't know it was possible. So yeah, like it makes a lot of sense for us, because a lot of our traders, they end up having a bad slippage if they get placed last in the block and not the first in the block, because majority of our traders do swap on, like, the pools which are currently hot. So even, like, being on the top of the block is something which makes sense and, like, which will get them better rates. So
for sure, man. Would love your feedback. We'll make sure to hit you up after the space.
Yeah. Sure, sounds good. And, like, if I can ask you a question, so, like, I would specifically love your thoughts on, like, post Alpenglow transaction landing. Like, how does that look like? Like, if you have guys have given any thought.
All right. Okay. That's a good question. We've been asked this in our community a couple of times before. Alpenglow is definitely better for the network, because currently, if you look at most of the transaction, even if it ends up being submitted on chain, there is quite a lot of time that it spends within the network just collecting votes from different leaders. Like, the actual execution confirmation time or the finalization time is quite heavy because of the process of collecting votes from all the different leaders and then finalizing the block. Alpenglow cuts this heavily to make sure your transactions are finalized a lot more quicker. Particularly, it doesn't affect a lot of the high frequency traders, because they're already depending on confirmation states, which are prior to the finalized stage. But it does help quite a lot of, like, application developers. If you're building, like, a trading terminal chart and you want to show reliable price ticker feeds to your users from the confirmed blocks, it definitely helps you. It helps the retail users get, you know, closer to the actual tip of the network. And from our perspective, from an infrastructure angle, you know, SWQS within the Solana client is an edge that we use to broadcast transactions to allow for, like, effective execution. And it was essentially introduced to limit the behavior around spam, like users trying to spam transactions, et cetera. One question that we get frequently is that, is this edge going to go away once Alpenglow is introduced? We don't think so. There is still going to be a limitation that the network could have a lot of spam. It would change the way the existing SWQS systems work, but there would be some level of filtering done where, you know, the staked clients are able to send transactions. Also, there's going to be leader hotspots as well. So in general, we do see you know, quite a lot of demand coming in post Alpenglow as well, because of leader concentration within different areas as well.
Got it. Yeah, that's cool. That answers me.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for catching you up.
It's fine.
All right. Okay, I think we have come to the end of the spaces. Thank you so much, Harsh, for joining us. Thank you to the Math Engine team for joining us. And thank you, Sujit, for having the AMA with me. Hope to see you guys again. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.